So you can't miss a Sunday if you want to hear the results of this message. Today is a provocation. You're not getting any answers. All right, it's to stir things up, and then we'll go through the answers as we go through part two and part three. How to possess your future. I think it doesn't matter where you are in life, how young you are, how old you are, there's more that we can be. There is no invisible lid over any human being. It says you are the peak of who you're meant to be. There's no invisible place around you that stops you from going to that next place in God. It's really important we get a revelation about this, that wherever we are in God, we're called to be more. And the reason we're called to be more is because God has an assignment. He has a plan for our lives. And in that plan is not only to bless us and to do great things in us, it's also to do great things through us. But our assignment and our plan. So to grow as a believer spiritually is not that we just become spiritually fat, it's that we become believers with power that can help change the world that we live in. So we're going to keep on this mission of growth spiritually. And today's message or this series is about how to possess your future, how to be able to do what God's called you to do, how to live the life that He's called you to live. And it's an ongoing process. I hope where you are today is stronger than and bigger than you were 5 years ago. And I hope in your head that as much as you're content with where you are now, that you're not going to stay there, because the plan of God is not to stay the same, it's to increase, all right? It's to become a bigger spiritual person than we are right now. See, to have dreams, to have aspirations, to outwork the assignment of God, is not going to happen just because we hope they will, not because we just want them to happen. It's that we have to grow and change. You must grow to go where you want to go. You must grow to go where you want to go. And today's series, or the beginning of this series, is all about provoking the concept that's in that. So much of what God wants to do in our lives and through our lives is not ultimately based on what God can do, but our capacity to handle what God can do. So as much as we say, God, do it all, He looks back to us and say, you know, I want to do it all, but you've got to grow enough spiritually for me able to do what I need to do. So let's have a look at some key principles I've found in the sense of moving forward in the things of God. Understand this, if you are not moving forward, you are moving backwards. There's no such thing as standing still in life. Nothing on this planet ever stops. The wind never ceases. The tide, even at high tide and low tide, it's always moving. Every particle, every energy, every cell in your body is in motion. There's no such place as standing still. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. You're either getting closer to God or you're getting further away. Your marriage is either improving or it's deproving, if there's such a word. And there is now. If Apple can do it, so can I. You see, they're going one way or the other. Your business is either getting better or it's getting worse, but you just don't know it yet. There's no such place as standing still. We've got to understand that we are an in motion people. God has designed us to be in motion. So if we're not moving forward in the things of God, as much as it's hard to say, you're not standing still, you're actually sliding backwards. But that was never the plan of God. Let's have a look at the book of Genesis. Ephesians 2:10, sorry. Let's go to Ephesians 2 verse 10 first. I'll mess them all up there if I go out of sequence. Ephesians 2:10, it says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For we are His workmanship." In other words, you might have been a surprise to your parents, but you were never a surprise to God. He had created you beforehand. He had seen the you He was going to design. He placed you inside your mother's womb. He created you not for no works, not for nothing, but for good works. There was always a plan. The reason you were born in this country or in that country that you were born in today in this part of history was not an accident. It wasn't a mistake. It was a God design. It says it very clearly, for we are His workmanship, all right? And understand that. That means on the back of your soul there's a tag, and it doesn't say made in Korea, India, or Michigan. It says made in heaven. Yes. You are His works. We are designed by God for not nothing, but for good works. And He did it beforehand, all right? And not just the last minute, oh, gee, what am I going to do with Mark? No, He'd done it beforehand. He created us for good works. But for us to complete our assignment, we've got to grow. We've got to become bigger. We've got to increase our capacity. To be able to do what He's called us to do, we've got to become bigger person, bigger people. So as we go on through this process of moving forward, it changes everything about who we are. So much of what God wants to do in us and through our lives is determined by how big we grow on the inside. So let's look at some keys this morning on how to possess our future. Number one, and this is going to be a revelation. This is a provocation this morning. You must realize that everybody can increase their capacity. Everybody. It doesn't matter what your background says. It doesn't matter what your present says. It doesn't matter what your future looks like. You can increase your capacity. You're not at your limit right now. There is more in you than you realize and than what God wants to bring out. You are a capsule that hides the treasure of heaven within inside of it, and God wants to provoke that treasure to come out because somebody is praying for an answer, and God designed you to be that answer to that prayer. God designed each one of us to be an answer to somebody's prayer. So we can't stay small in who we are. So every one of us can grow. Everybody can expand and reach. Everybody can do that. Listen, we're going to look at the whole passage of Scripture that we'll be looking at over the next 3 weeks besides Mother's Day, and then we'll come back and look at how we can increase our capacity. Let's look at Matthew 25, verses 14. Through 30. So stay with me, read this, would you? Look at it and come with me. This is the story that I think biblically that gives us the picture of the plan of God for our lives, how we can be all that He wants us to be, how we can have all that He wants us to have. It says this, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, called his servants in, delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, to another 1, each according to his own ability, then he left them." He went on a journey. "Then he who had received 5 went and traded with them and made another 5. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But the one who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money in the hole. After a long time, the Lord of the servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 came and brought 5 others, talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered me to 5. Look, I've gained you 5 more besides them.' Look what the Lord says. 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" I don't know what words you want God to say about you, but they're the ones I'm after. Right. Well done, not well done, good and faithful pastor, not well done, good and faithful businessman, but well done, good and faithful servant. Understanding, serving is not the beginning of your ministry, it's the highest point in ministry. Right. It doesn't matter who you become or what title you own, the highest place in the hands or the kingdom of God is that of a servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. And even if you're a leader, you must lead through an attitude of serving. It doesn't matter who you are, you've got to lead through. That's the plan of God. Over a few things, "I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, 'Lord, you delivered me 2. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them.' Then his Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord.'" Then he had received the 1 talent. Now, where did this guy get the 1 talent from? The Lord? Is that right? Is that what the Bible says? The Lord gave him the talent? But this is his response to the Lord now who gave him the talent. "I knew you to be a hard man. He just gave you a talent, for goodness sake. Reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid, so I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But the Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked,'" these are the words I don't want to hear, all right? "'You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. So you ought to have at least deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would receive back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him." Listen to this. "Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And now cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You don't want to ever go where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right? Understand there's a principle in here that we need to see that will help us identify. Number one is that we all can increase. Let's look at verse 14 again, and we're going to just read a couple of the verses there. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, called his own servants, delivered the goods. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, and each according to his own ability, immediately went on a journey. Then he received 5, traded them, made another 5. Guys, got 2, traded them, got another 2. But he had received 1, went and dug a ground and hid his Lord's money. Verse 18. Did I read that? It's there, isn't it? It's there, and I already read it, didn't I? I think my eyes are going, Mike. Finally. Verse 18. I am turning 60 this month, by the way, just so you know that. So even without, I've got reasonably good eyes, no glasses yet. Except I missed that, and that's scaring me right there. But he received 1, went and dug the ground and put the Lord's money. I can imagine the guys up there going, oh, Mark, that is the end of the scripture. In this passage, it shows us that he gives everybody something. He gave 5 to one, 2 to another, and 1 to somebody who probably didn't even deserve it. But he gave it to him anyway. So what I'm saying is that everybody is given something by God. Everybody's got something. You mightn't feel like you did. You mightn't see what you've got, but you've got something given to you by God. And no matter how much we are given, we can increase, improve, and get bigger. All right? Doesn't matter how. See, God doesn't judge us on our 5 talent, 2 talent, 1 talent concept. He doesn't look down your nose and go, oh, you're just a 1 talent person. He doesn't look through those eyes. God doesn't judge us on what he gives us. He judges us on what we do with what he gives us. So whether it's 1 talent, 2 or 5, that's not the issue. It's what we do with that is significant. And even if you start with 1, the good news is you can increase. All right? So, and we can become more. That's the whole passage of scripture here. That's what it's telling us, to become more. No one has to stay the same. We can and we should move forwards. God's first commandment to mankind was a moving commandment. In other words, it was a commandment to move. Let's read Genesis 1 verse 28. And then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea. Who wants that to happen? I really want that one to happen. Please give me dominion over the fish of the sea. Especially at Fraser. Over the birds, really don't care about that. And over every living thing that moves on the earth. The first commandment given to mankind was be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion. In other words, it wasn't a suggestion of just take it easy, stay the same, or not even of just get less. It was a commandment to increase. A commandment to move forward. Now, God never would have commanded us to do that if we couldn't do it. If we couldn't multiply, if we couldn't have fruit, if we couldn't have dominion, he never would have commanded us to do it. So obviously it tells me we have got the ability by God to do those things. We are designed to increase. We are designed to win. We are designed. I mean, nobody likes losing. We suck it up. We pretend we're okay with it. But we don't like it. No one has good feelings about losing. You ask any New South Wales person about the state of origin. There's not one happy person down there going, praise God, we lost again. Because we're not designed to lose. We like it when we win because we're designed to have dominion. We're designed to increase. We're designed to multiply. We're designed to move forward. No one's got a plan this year in 2017 to be poorer. God, this year, I just want to be poorer. God, I don't need money. Why? Because we're not designed to decrease, we're designed to increase. Nobody's made a plan to be stupider this year, have they? I usually get a couple of hands. My response is always, you're on your way. The only people that like to lose are people that are playing golf with their boss. And I tell my staff that regularly. We are designed to increase. We are designed to move forward. And we can. And it doesn't matter where you are right now, there's more for you. And there's more inside of you, there's more God has for you. We've got to get a revelation that, man, we can increase our capacity and we need to. Not just for our own sakes, but for the assignment God has for every one of us. And you know what? Our assignments don't stop till the last bit of breath leaves your lungs. Your assignment never ceases while you have breath in your lungs. The second key that I've found to possessing the future is understanding that God resources us to the level of our capacity. God resources us to the level of our capacity and our ability. Look at verse 15 again. And he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability. In other words, God gives us what we want according to what he thinks we're able to cope with. In other words, if we don't have more than we think we should have more than we do right now, it's not the problem with God, it's our ability to handle what God has for us. He gives us according to our own abilities. The master here responded to the ability. He resourced them accordingly. You have 1 talent ability, I'm going to give you 1 talent. You have 2 talent ability, I'm going to give you 2 talents. And then, of course, we have show-offs. And they have 5 talent ability, they can do everything. And, you know, I like Chardon get up here. He can sing, write songs, preach. I mean, it makes me sick. It does. I mean, people have 5 talent abilities and it's okay. God stages them to be at that place. But the great news is that if you start with 1, doesn't mean you can't end up with 11. The point being, it's not what we start with that matters. It's what we do with what God gives us. See, if we want more from God, God, give me more. But God can't give us more until we have or increase our capacity or abilities to handle more. There's no sense giving somebody resources that can't handle their resources. If you're an employer, you don't give somebody a lot unless they have the ability to handle a lot. You resource them to the point of their capabilities. So we need to understand this is the plan of God. It's like, for example, you've got a high school, grade 8 student, and they're failing maths and they're failing science, and you decide to give them a scholarship in astrophysics. I mean, it's not going to happen. You know, the kid's going to start failing. You're going to start blaming the devil. You're going to start talking about the economic climate, the government, da 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 da. But the truth is, our failures are not based around outside things, though they do affect us in some way. But the truth is, it depends on our ability or capability to handle the things that we've been given. It was really about this capacity. And as our capacity increases, so will our success. As our capacity increases, so will our success. Many people blame all sorts of things for their failures. You know, I've been around a while and I've heard a number of people say, you know what, I'm a self-made success. I have never heard anybody say, I'm a self-made failure. It's always somebody else's fault. It's always somebody else's issues. It's always somebody else's problem. They blame everything and everybody, but really it's about our capacity. If we grow our capacity, we're able to handle more. The truth is, where we are right now, God is resourcing us to the level of our abilities and capacity. Where we are right now, what we have from God, he's resourcing our ability and capability to handle what he's given us. As your capacity grows and your abilities improve, God resources you to a greater level and gives us more. I've got a jug of water here, and for the sake of the example, this is God. I've gone to a lot of trouble to make it red like the blood of Jesus. But this is the power of God. This is the love of God. This is the blessing of God. This is the favor of God. It's all here. And for the sake of the example, you and I are the glass. All right? Now, the glass is a praying glass. It's a loving Jesus glass. It's a serving glass. And it's praying for more of God. It's praying for whatever God has for them. So God who has all things, is wanting to give this praying, loving Jesus glass all that he can. He's not trying to restrict the glass about what he can give them. So God starts to respond to our prayers, and he starts to give. He starts to pour, and he starts to pour it in, and we're getting filled up, and we're loving what God's doing, and things are starting to happen, and we're just loving it, and we're getting there, and all of a sudden he starts to stop. Otherwise, I'll be wearing that. He starts to stop. Now, the glass has not stopped his desire for more of God. God, who has still plenty left, has not stopped his desire to give more to the glass. So the issue is not how big God is, it's how big we are to contain what God wants to do in us. So for us to have more of God, it's not about God, pour more, 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 more. It's about God, make me a bigger glass so I can receive and contain more of what you have for me. That's the challenge of the Christian experience, is not to stay the same size glass all of our believers' life, but to increase the size of our glass. God resources us according to our size, our bigness, our ability. He is totally limited by our capacity. God is totally limited to what he can do in us and through us, not by his desire or his power, but by our capacity. If you want more, you have to increase your capacity to handle more. It all comes from God, the anointing, blessing, favor, promotion, increase, breakthrough. There's no doubt all these things are from heaven, but my capacity determines how much I can receive and contain from God. So many times we don't get our prayers answered. Not though God doesn't want to pour in, it's just that we're not big enough to receive right now. And so our challenge then, and again, what I start with, I started with everybody can increase. All right, everybody can increase. So it's not just not a, oh my gosh, I'm not big enough. No, you can become more. That's the whole point. Then you can receive more. My capacity determines how much I'm able to receive from God. Well, God can do anything, Mark, and he can do anything, there's no doubt. But he has chosen to use vessels like you and me. That's his plan. He has decided that the best way to reach our generation with the good news of Jesus Christ dying and raising again from the dead is to use people like you and I. I'm not sure if I would have used that plan, but that's his. He has decided this is it. So he's saying to you and I then, hey, become the person of bigness that I want you to be so I can put in what I need to put in so you can go out and do what I've called you to do. So again, we've got to move away from the prayer of God, I want more, rather than the prayer of God, make me bigger. God, help me be all that you want me to be. Like I said, as an employer, I understand this principle that you resource to the point of people's capability. And that's why some people move ahead quicker than other people, is because they're getting bigger, they're growing. And over the years, I've watched people in ministry and outside in business field, some just keep moving forward, others just get stalled. And the only difference is that they've not increased their capacity. They've not got bigger people. See, opportunities aren't lost in life, they're just given to other people that are getting bigger. Opportunities aren't lost in God. They're just given to people that are growing spiritually. I see it in the account here. I mean, look how clear Jesus makes that. He says the guy that got one did nothing. Now, to understand, the guy that brought the one talent back, he had a bad attitude, no doubt about that. He saw things the wrong way, no doubt about that. But he wasn't a thief. He brought it back. He was careful. He hadn't broken it. He was there, so he'd not run off. He was a person that was obviously true to his word, and yet he was still banished out as an unprofitable servant. And not only was he banished, the one talent that he had was taken. It doesn't even sound like Jesus, does it? Like, the one talent that he has is taken from him. See, opportunities aren't lost. They're just given to somebody else who's getting bigger. That one talent was taken off him and given to the guy that already had 10, as if he needed another talent. But he didn't. God is not a socialist. God doesn't make things all even. God rewards us on our ability to grow and be fruitful. That's the plan of God for our lives. And as we grow and become fruitful, then he will increase our capacity to be able to do more and handle more. He takes that one talent off and gives it to the other guy. Intentionally today, lean in to build your capacity. Then draw closer to God. Get know his word more. And we'll get more into that as the weeks to come to find the answers out of growing and possessing your future. But start to lean into God, because where you are now is good, but it's not the plan God has for you. It's not over. Our prayer is not, God, give us more. It should be, God, make me bigger. And if we can live in that space, we can pray in that space, and as our capacity grows, our glass becomes bigger, and then God can keep pouring in what he needs to pour in. And again, it's not just about you and I, it's that in this process, we're able to become more so we can reach our world in a better place, make it stronger out there, see the glory of God in a greater measure. It's about helping somebody else. Today, let's call unto God. God, don't just give me more, make me bigger. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes.